Bhaktivedanta Swami Niti Namine. Namaste Sharashati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunnavadi Paschatta Vishutarine. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jaya. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
In 1995, I came across one magazine with an article, The Greatest Personalities of the 20th Century. And with great expectation, I went through that article hoping that there would be a mention of Srila Prabhupada. But to my great disappointment, there was no mention of Srila Prabhupada. Some Indians made into that article, but Prabhupada was not there. And often I pondered over that. Actually, that inspired me to make that television series on Srila Prabhupada. At first I thought that I would make a movie on Srila Prabhupada. But then while discussing about it with one very well-known movie star who was quite affected by Srila Prabhupada's teachings and was very close to ISKCON, her name is Hema Malini. And when I was speaking to her about this plan of making a movie, she actually gave me the idea that better to make a TV serial than making a movie. She made that point that if the movie makes it, then it's a success. But if it doesn't make it, if it doesn't make it to the box office, then nobody will even see it. Whereas this TV series, there's a viewership, continuous viewership. Anyway, that kind of inspired me to make that video series on Srila Prabhupada called Abhay Charan, thinking that it is our responsibility to make the world aware of Srila Prabhupada's greatness. People on their own may not recognize Srila Prabhupada's glory, Srila Prabhupada's greatness, but we, the followers of Srila Prabhupada, who have recognized Srila Prabhupada's greatness, it is our responsibility to present it to the world, broadcast it all over the world. Anyway, later on, often I pondered over that point, the greatest personalities of the 20th century. And I always felt with a shadow of doubt that Srila Prabhupada is not just one of the greatest personalities of the 20th century, but Prabhupada is the greatest personality of the 20th century. Now, are we biased about this? Is it because that we are the followers of Srila Prabhupada, therefore we think that Srila Prabhupada is the greatest personality? With due honesty, I will admit, no. Like, Srila Prabhupada is the greatest personality. How do we recognize the greatness of a personality? We recognize the greatness of a personality from his contribution to the human society. What one has done to uplift the human society. What one has done to benefit this world. And undoubtedly, Srila Prabhupada's glory shines forth with its own brilliance. Who has ever benefited the world the way Srila Prabhupada has done? And When you look at it from the spiritual perspective, then we see, then we recognize that the real need in this world is spiritual knowledge, spiritual awareness. And Srila Prabhupada inundated that world with that awareness. A 70-year-old man comes to America without any support, without any patronage, without any resources, without any funding, just with $6 in his pocket and three trunkful of Srimad Bhagavatams translated into English in three volumes. With that he started his campaign. And then we see the world has been inundated with the world has been flooded with an awareness of spiritual culture, spiritual wisdom. And the amazing thing was that Srila Prabhupada influenced the individuals who did not have any inclination towards spiritual culture. Those who did not have any inclination towards India's wisdom, they just became attracted to Srila Prabhupada, totally unaware of why they became attracted to him. The initial attraction probably was his music, the way he chanted Hare Krishna in 22nd Avenue in the evenings. The young Americans started to come. They loved to make music, and here this Indian Swami was making music. So they were coming there. After the Hare Krishna chant, Srila Prabhupada used to speak on Bhagavad Gita. And many of the early devotees admitted that they didn't understand what Prabhupada was speaking about. They had difficulty understanding Prabhupada's accent and what to speak of the topic. And then they became attracted by Srila Prabhupada's cooking. Srila Prabhupada saw that these young boys and girls were not getting proper food. So Prabhupada used to invite them to come and take prasad. Whatever little money Prabhupada had, he used to go buy some bhoga from Chinatown, and he himself used to cut the vegetables. No one was there to assist him. Prabhupada used to cook, and they used to come, take the prasad, and then they left. And Prabhupada was left to clean the room, clean the pot, all by himself. And then gradually, and one of the things that attracted them very much was gulab jamun. And they were popularly known as ISKCON bullets. They coined the phrase, a bullet a day keeps Maya away. And so then they gradually began to recognize Srila Prabhupada's real gift, Krishna consciousness. Like Prabhupada, in very simple words, spoke about the difference between body and soul. Prabhupada spoke about the difference between matter and spirit. And that was the beginning point. And already Prabhupada established an institution in a small little storefront, 26 Second Avenue, the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. What an ambitious concept. Small little storefront in downtown New York with a handful of followers, and he registers an institution, and the name of the institution is the International, to begin with, International Society for Krishna Consciousness. The lawyer who was registering the company, he suggested Srila Prabhupada, and some of his followers also agreed that better to rather call it the International Society for God Consciousness instead of Krishna Consciousness, because people wouldn't understand who Krishna is or what Krishna is. Then Prabhupada insisted, no, Krishna Consciousness. And Prabhupada told them that, I have come here to make them understand that Krishna is God. No compromise whatsoever. He came to the Western world to make people understand that Krishna is God. And not only Krishna is God, Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. To eradicate the misconception that floats around about God. Who is God? Many gods. Everybody is God. You are God. I am God. To remove that misconception, Prabhupada very emphatically pointed out Supreme Personality of Godhead. God. Who is God? The Supreme. He is the Supreme. What is the meaning of supreme? Means no one is equal to him or no one is superior to him. The supreme. And he is a person. He is not just some light or some music or something. He is a person. And then also, he pointed out that his color is blue. And they accepted it because the way Srila Prabhupada made that understanding clear. Who is God? Who is the Supreme Personality of Godhead? He's a person. He's the Supreme Person. And we are His eternal servants. He is the Supreme Lord. And we are His eternal servants. And people, young Americans, started to respond to Srila Prabhupada's very unique presentation. And Prabhupada was not concocting something. Prabhupada was not presenting something out of his imagination. Prabhupada's presentation was based on the Vedic scriptures, age-old scriptures of the East, India, the spiritual wisdom had been very systematically presented in this way. And the way Srila Prabhupada presented it, Prabhupada made it very clear that if you have any question, if you have any doubt, you ask. Don't accept whatever I am saying blindly. And sometimes Prabhupada used to provoke them to ask questions. And in this way, especially during morning walks, during the room conversations, this wonderful wisdom started to unfold. It's a science. Prabhupada very clearly pointed out, Krishna consciousness is not just a faith. Actual religion, real religion is not a faith. Religion is a science. In the sense, science means a systematic study of a subject. That is science. Systematic study of energy is physics. Systematic study of life is biology. Systematic study of number is mathematics. Similarly, the systematic study of the spiritual reality is religion. That is real religion, not just faith. When different representatives of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself came, he gave us a very clear understanding about the spiritual reality. And that is religion. Unfortunately, in course of time, religions degenerated into some faith. But actually what was presented is a science. Science about the spiritual reality. Science about God. Science about our relationship with God. And Srila Prabhupada made that point very, very clear. And in this respect we can also recall how some young Americans helped Srila Prabhupada in the early days. And I think that among them, one of the most brilliant personalities, Mukunda Maharaj. Many others are there, but he is the one who started it. When Prabhupada didn't have any place to stay in New York, he was chased out of that loft he was sharing with a young boy called David Allen. When Prabhupada was chased out, he freaked out on acid. And he chased Prabhupada. He attacked Prabhupada. And Prabhupada left the room and climbed down the stairs and came onto the street. He didn't have any place to stay. The only person he could think of at that time was Michael Grant, a young American. And Mukunda Maharaj, who later on became Mukunda Maharaj, Michael Grant. He couldn't make any arrangement for Prabhupada in his place, but he arranged for Prabhupada to stay with one of his friends. So Prabhupada stayed there for a while, and in the meantime, this young boy, Michael Grant, got a place for Srila Prabhupada. That is the 22nd Avenue. A storefront, and behind that, an apartment, small one-bedroom apartment for Srila Prabhupada. And that's how it started. Prabhupada registered ISKCON institution in New York. Some of the young boys and girls who became attracted to his teachings got initiated by him. One of them was this Michael Grant, who became Mukunda Das. And I think 2 days or 3 days after initiation, Prabhupada got him married. Both of them, he and his girlfriend, got initiated. And Prabhupada said that now that you're initiated, you can't live like boyfriend, girlfriend. You have to get married. And Prabhupada got them married. Mukunda and Janaki. And then Mukunda Maharaj went to the west coast, because he knew that the real happening was going on in the west coast, in San Francisco, Golden Gate Park, Haight-Ashbury. And he got some of his friends also interested. And that is Shamsundar Prabhu and Gurudas Prabhu and their wives, Malati Mataji and Jamuna Mataji. So 6 of them got a place for Srila Prabhupada and made arrangements for Srila Prabhupada to come to the West Coast. And they got a place similar to the 26 Second Avenue, another storefront. And Prabhupada went to San Francisco and started his preaching there. And there again, response was amazing. Already so many young seekers were there. They were searching for a positive alternative. They were searching for a counterculture. And they found the real alternative, Krishna consciousness. And the stalwart leaders of ISKCON, many stalwart leaders of ISKCON joined, like Tamal Krishna Maharaj, Vishnujan Maharaj, Gaur Hari Prabhu. So, this is how it all started. Then, Shamsundar Prabhu, Gurudas Prabhu and Mukunda Maharaj decided to go to England, London. In America, the movement started. Now, let's go out and conquer England and Europe. They took the blessings of Srila Prabhupada in Montreal and left. Those days, there were cheap flights, and they used to get cheap flights to Amsterdam and Luxembourg. And they went to Luxembourg, flew from New York to Luxembourg. Now, while going to England, they had some problem. They were told that to enter into England, they have to show a certain amount of money. Now, they didn't have that kind of money with them for all 6 of them to go to England. So they decided to go 2 at a time and show the amount of money they had, go to England and wire the money back to Amsterdam. And the second group went, and this way 6 of them went. And no money, no place to stay. Must have been very, very difficult. They were staying in some Indian houses. Those days, the Indians who were hosting them, they were also not very wealthy. Most of them were actually from East Africa, like due to Idi Amin's onslaught, they left Uganda and came to London. They were staying there, facing a lot of hardship, hardly any success in preaching. But then an amazing thing happened. Shyamasundar Prabhu had an acquaintance who was the manager of the Grateful Dead. What's his name? Kali, Rox Kali? Anyway, I forgot his name. And he happened to meet him, and he assured him that he would introduce them to the Beatles. And Beatles were already interested in Indian culture. They already went to India, spent some time in Rishikesh, in Mahir Jogi's ashram. George Harrison was learning to play sitar from Ravi Shankar. So they were interested to Indian culture, and they felt that probably they could approach the Beatles. And they went with the appointment with Kelly. And so Jamuna Mataji made a cake with an apple sign on it to be given to them. But when he went there, the doorkeeper wouldn't allow him to go in. He asked whether he had an appointment. He said he had somebody who is already waiting for him inside, and he was not impressed. But again, by Krishna's mercy, at that time, John Lennon's Japanese wife, Yoko Ono, just arrived there. And he saw Shyamasundar Prabhu dressed up in dhoti kurta. And she asked, "Oh, you must be a friend of George and John." And he said, "Yes, yes." And so he said, "Come on in." So she took him inside, and he was waiting. But he was, Rock Kelly was not there. So he was waiting. And at that time, just George Harrison happened to come out of his room, and he was just walking, and he noticed Shyamasundar Prabhu. And he asked. He just came to him and said, "Where you guys been? We had been looking for you everywhere. I saw you all chanting in San Francisco, and since then I have been trying to contact you." And so George Harrison invited them to come to his house. And that's how it all started in England. George Harrison made an album with the devotees chanting, and he himself sang "My Sweet Lord," which became an amazing hit. And so this is how Krishna consciousness movement started to grow. And when Prabhupada got this response from London, Prabhupada sent Tamalkrishna Maharaj to start book distribution there and start the preaching. And there, Prabhupada got the first deity to be established in ISKCON temple. So an Indian gentleman invited Prabhupada and said that he had a deity of Radha Krishna. Prabhupada just went there with his disciples And he practically kidnapped Radha Krishna from there. The man was trying to lay some conditions and all, and Prabhupada just told Tamakrishna Maharaj, just take the deities and just take them to the car. Tamakrishna Maharaj told me about that incident quite in detail. And so then this is the first deities that appeared in ISKCON. Oh no, before that, this is the first deity of Radha Krishna that appeared. But the deities of Jagannath Baladev Subhadra already appeared in San Francisco. That's also an amazing happening. One day, these three couples came to Srila Prabhupada, Malati Mataji, Jamuna Mataji, and Janaki with Shyamchandra Prabhu, Gurudas Prabhu, and Mukunda Maharaj. And showed Prabhupada one very beautiful figurine that they got in an Indian curio shop. Maybe not even an Indian curio shop, just a curio shop.
Cost plus.
Okay, cross plus.
Cost.
Oh, cost plus, yeah,
yes.
Okay.
They sell a lot of Indian
type of things there, yeah. And as soon as Prabhupada saw that figure, Prabhupada just offered obeisance. And they were surprised. Why Prabhupada is offering obeisances? And then Prabhupada asked, is there any other figures like that? He said, yes, there's a yellow one and a white one. Prabhupada said, get them. So they got the two others, and then Prabhupada told them who they are. They were Jagannath Baladev Subhadra. And Shyamchandra Prabhu had a skill of wood carving. So Prabhupada asked him to make some big deities from those small ones. And Shyamchandra Prabhu carved the Jagannath Baladev and Subhadra. They were installed in that storefront. And they used to have the morning aratik every day, Guru Puja, deity worship started that way. Then, one afternoon, Srila Prabhupada came and found that Jagannath is missing. So he inquired what happened, and the devotees told that the other devotees have taken them to Golden Gate Park. Prabhupada was a little upset. You can't take the deities out like that. And little annoyed, Prabhupada just went to Golden Gate Park, and his heart melted when he saw that the devotees and other young boys and girls were chanting Hare Krishna Mahamantra and circumambulating Jagannath. Then Prabhupada said, it's very nice that you want to bring Lord Jagannath out, but you have to do it in a proper way. And Prabhupada told them about Ratha Yatra festival. So, and the first Ratha Yatra festival took place in San Francisco. A flatbed truck was converted into Jagannath's Rath cart, and Jagannath Baladev and Subhadra were taken out, and it was a grand success. The response was beyond anyone's imagination. And this is how the Ratha Yatra festival started. This is how Jagannath appeared along with Baladev and Subhadra. The Ratha Yatra festival started. The deities of Radha Londoneshwar were established in London. George Harrison became very, very favorable to Krishna consciousness. And he got this property in Watford, which is Bhaktivedanta Manor today. And then after that, Tamakrishna Maharaj decided to go to France and then to Germany. Then Hansadutta Swami joined and Harikesh Swami came in. Like in this way, Krishna consciousness movement started to spread. France, Germany, Switzerland, Italy. Yes, another person who played a very important role in spreading Krishna consciousness in Europe was Bhagavan Prabhu. So these young Americans came to help Srila Prabhupada, and an amazing thing started to happen all over the world. In India, where the response was practically nil, Srila Prabhupada took his white dancing elephants. Dancing white elephants. That's what Prabhupada used to call his young American disciples. And those who went to India. Krishna consciousness started to spread in India also. Then the devotees went to Australia and the movement started to spread there. One young 18-year-old boy wanted to do something for Srila Prabhupada. And when he looked at the map, he saw that everywhere devotees have gone and started the movement. The only country he saw where devotees didn't go was Africa. So he decided to go to South Africa. That is Shudhi Prabhu. I don't know whether you all know him. And when he went to Prabhupada and told him that he wanted to go, Prabhupada was very impressed. And Prabhupada gave a few of his senior devotees also to go with him. And South Africa was a difficult place at that time. South Africa was apartheid. And there was a very strict demarcation, segregation between the whites and Indians and blacks. But in that situation, they started to spread Krishna consciousness in South Africa also. Then Prabhupada himself went to Nairobi and Mombasa. He also went to South Africa. The only place that was left to conquer, where Prabhupada just went and put his foot there, was Russia. But Prabhupada, in 3 days that he stayed there, he initiated one Russian boy. And he took it up very seriously. And he started on his own to spread Krishna consciousness. And when Prabhupada got to know about that, Prabhupada took advantage of a book fair and he sent Gopal Krishna Maharaj to represent BBT there. So we had a stall, BBT stall. And they were just there, but people didn't have money to buy books. But some books were being stolen. And Gopal Krishna Maharaj allowed them to steal the books. When they were stealing the books, they looked in some other direction. And then Prabhupada sent Harikesh Swami. And he found it very difficult to preach in Russia. But Prabhupada insisted, no, you go and preach there. He gave various excuses why it's not possible to stay in Russia and preach there. Prabhupada disregarded all his excuses. He said, Prabhupada, there is no association of devotees. Prabhupada said, association or no association, preach there. Go and preach there. He said, Prabhupada, nobody understands English there. Whether they understand English or not, go and preach there. Then he said, Prabhupada, there is nothing to eat. All you get is meat there. Prabhupada said, then eat meat and go and preach there. So that was Prabhupada's spirit. And then Harikesh Swami took Kirti Raj Prabhu. And he did an amazing job in distributing books. His mission, Kirti Raj Prabhu's mission, was to pump in Prabhupada's books in Russian language. They were already translated. Harikesh Swami made the arrangement in BBT in Sweden for some Russian devotees to come and translate the books. And those books were being smuggled into Russia. When the Russian ships came to different ports, the books were handed down to the sailors. Calcutta was a big place for Russian book distribution, because those days many Russians used to come to India. And we used to go out and give them the stacks of books to take to Russia. And in Russia, some Bhagavad Gitas were smuggled in. But the response was so amazing that there were only a handful of books, and there were so many wanted to read. So they divided the book in different chapters. Bhagavad Gita was broken chapter-wise. And that is how they used to read those books. One book was divided into 18 chapters. And they used to pass it around. When one finished the first chapter, he got the second one. Somebody else got the first one. And this is how it started in Russia. And then Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj went there to distribute Prabhupada's books in the library party. And he just went and he did an amazing job there, risking his life, practically with no shelter to stay, practically there is no food to eat. He was just distributing Prabhupada's books. And he used to write amazing letters to Srila Prabhupada about how he was doing that. I think that's one of the greatest adventure stories, if we could put them together. And Prabhupada, those days in Vrindavan in 1977, Prabhupada used to wait for his letters. And with great eagerness, when Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj's letter came, that was the first one that Tamal Krishna Maharaj would read out to Srila Prabhupada. And sometimes reading those letters, tears used to stream down Prabhupada's eyes. So this is how the seeds were planted in different parts of the world. And today we are seeing how amazingly, how wonderfully the seeds are being fructified. In in Russia, an inconceivable miracle took place. And Russia got rid of communism. Glasnost and perestroika. Why did it happen? Krishna's arrangement. Otherwise, who could ever imagine that Russia would give up communism? Those who are the pioneers of communism in this world, they gave up communism. In this way we can see what Srila Prabhupada did in 10 years' time. Its result, its effects will become manifest to the passing of time. We are already seeing its manifestation. The areas where Krishna consciousness was impossible, today in those areas Krishna consciousness is flourishing in the most amazing way. And ultimately, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's prediction that Krishna consciousness movement would spread all over the world in every town and village can never go in vain. How can the words of the Supreme Personality of Godhead go in vain? It must become a reality. Krishna consciousness movement has undoubtedly spread all over the world. But now it's a matter of every town and village. And Srila Prabhupada made that arrangement. Srila Prabhupada knew that he would be on this planet only for a few years. But to continue the mission, he saw the need of an institution. Institution means collective endeavor with collective management. So Prabhupada structured this institution with a unique concept of collective management through GBC, Governing Body Commission. And Prabhupada's, one of the final instructions was, your love for me will be shown how you cooperate with each other. Who in ISKCON would not want to show his love for Srila Prabhupada? Who in ISKCON would not love Srila Prabhupada? But Prabhupada made a condition, if you love me, then show your love for me through cooperation. So this is how Prabhupada made this very, very wonderful arrangement of collective endeavor. Many of us have to get together, cooperate. Whether we like it or not, whether it's to our benefit or not. But we must do it for the sake of our love for Srila Prabhupada. Cooperate. And that is how we have to express, that's how we have to show our love for Srila Prabhupada. So the world today may not recognize Srila Prabhupada as the greatest personality of the 20th century. But in course of time, the world will recognize the true greatness of Srila Prabhupada. For Jesus Christ, it took a few hundred years to be recognized. Same thing with Muhammad. But with Srila Prabhupada, we have to give him at least a few years. And then let us see what happens. ISKCON is here to stay. Generally, a spiritual institution disintegrates soon after the disappearance of its founder. But with ISKCON, we are seeing that about 35, 36 years after Srila Prabhupada's disappearance, ISKCON is not only there, but ISKCON is getting stronger and stronger with time. So we have passed the most critical phase that an institution faces after the disappearance of its founder. Soon after Prabhupada's disappearance, ISKCON faced a lot of difficulties. But due to the devotee's love for Srila Prabhupada due to this concept of collective management, due to following Srila Prabhupada's instructions, ISKCON survived those difficulties. And now it's just going to grow stronger and stronger. Just as a plant, at an early stage, it is susceptible to die. And that's why it needs care. We have to fence around and let it grow. And when it reaches certain height, then it doesn't need any fence, then it doesn't need any protection. Then it just begins to grow. And that's what is going to happen to ISKCON. Now ISKCON will be able to weather all kind of storms and difficulties. So this is Krishna's divine arrangement. Krishna allowed the Krishna consciousness movement, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Sankirtan movement, to practically disappear soon after Mahaprabhu's disappearance. Soon after means within a couple of hundred years, practically disappeared. Became overshadowed or became obscured, became covered over by the different upper sampradaya's teachings. Mahaprabhu's teaching was practically lost. But then came Bhaktivinoda Thakur, revived Mahaprabhu's teachings. Then Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur came and gave it a shape through his Gaudiya Math. And then came Srila Prabhupada, fulfilled Mahaprabhu's prediction and spread this movement all over the world. And in order to continue that mission, Prabhupada gave ISKCON. Now we have to further this mission, being actively involved in our actual objective, to achieve our actual objective, to spread this movement all over the world in every town and village. And it will happen. How it will happen, we do not know. How long it will take, we do not know. But we know, without a shadow of doubt, that it is going to happen. Because this is what Krishna said. This is what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said. He predicted and it will happen. And we have already seen it is happening. Who could ever imagine that this Krishna consciousness movement would spread all over the world? But it has happened. Before Prabhupada came to the West, it was an impossible prediction. Even the Gaudiya Vaishnavas thought that it was just a poetic exaggeration. Every town and village it will spread. But Prabhupada came and made it happen. And also, in order to show Krishna's hand in it, that Krishna was doing it, it was arranged to happen in just 10 years' time. Srila Prabhupada didn't come to the West as a young man and started to preach and had many, many years to accomplish his mission. Prabhupada came here at the age of 70 and had only about 12 years left of his life. And he didn't know how long he would be able to be here. But within this 10 years of his active preaching, he made it happen all over the world. Another thing is that these young boys and girls who came and assisted Srila Prabhupada when he came here, they were not just some chance happening. Prabhupada himself admitted that Krishna actually made this arrangement. These individuals, all these American devotees who joined Srila Prabhupada's movement at that time and gave him an inconceivable support, they were actually planted by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And we are very fortunate to see some of them present in this room today. Srila Prabhupada's loyal followers who left everything in order to assist him and went to different parts of the world and distributed Krishna consciousness. Alachua community is blessed with so many of them residing here. And in this room, we have so many of them also. So now let us see. The time will tell who is the greatest personality of the 20th century. And not only the greatest personality of the 20th century, the greatest personality of all time, who benefited the world in the most amazing way. Thank you all very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Gaur Premanande. Does anybody have any question or comment? Yes, Shesha Prabhu. Well, I didn't see you.
Marsh. Thank you, Marsh. during the time when Srila Prabhupada was in New York and San Francisco, and those before he took the devotees back to India with him, do you know if there was any discussion or comment or observation from among his godbrothers in the Gaudiya Math about, did they get news of what was happening, or was it just complete, they didn't hear anything, and then all of a sudden he came back with his disciples?
No, they were aware of it. Prabhupada was in communication. Prabhupada was communicating with some of them. Mainly Prabhupada was asking them. First he asked them to come and join hands, work together to further the mission of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. When there was a possibility of getting that building in New York, costing $100,000, though probably nowadays that building would cost a few million dollars. Prabhupada at that time, just with the possibility of getting that building, Prabhupada was asking them to come and start preaching, because Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur wanted the Krishna consciousness movement to be taken to the West. But they didn't respond. And when Prabhupada didn't get the response, then only Prabhupada decided to start ISKCON. Initially, Prabhupada was prepared to function under, even not only with his godbrothers, but under his godbrothers. In his letters, he made it clear that you all come and lead the movement here. And then Prabhupada used to write to them about asking them to send mridangas and kartals. And some responded, some did not. And also when Prabhupada took his first group of disciples, he put some of his disciples under the care of some of his godbrothers. But they also did not really support Srila Prabhupada, rather. So then Prabhupada said, okay, there's no need to go close to them. Let's maintain a respectful attitude from a distance. So Prabhupada on his own, he was trying to get them to come and work together. And they were aware of it. But when Prabhupada went there, instead of being appreciative, many of them became critical about Prabhupada. Like they made a big issue out of Prabhupada using the title Prabhupada. Anyway, life goes on. Krishna consciousness movement goes on. And will go on, will continue to go on. Okay, thank you all very much. Gaur Premanande, Hari Hari.